Matthew 8. We're going to look at verses 23 to 27 today. And I want you to, I'm going to begin by having you think of something difficult in your life. Something that's happened to you or is happening to you or something like that. You can think of, the Iranian currency changed, right? Mm-hmm. And so finances are difficult. Because the change in the Iranian currency, it's not worth what it used to be worth. And you wonder, how are we going to make it, right? We got two kids going to college, and we wonder the same thing sometimes. Ollie, you've had plenty of difficulties that you've had to face. Related to your becoming a Christian. Maybe somebody in your family is sick, or a loved one, or your job has problems, whatever it is. Your family's broken. In these kinds of situations, the natural response is worry, fear. That's the, are we going to be okay? That's the most natural response, right? In situations like that. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he, that's Jesus, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" Okay. If you go back a little bit before verse 23, where we started today, and go back to verse 18, just look at verse 18, you see that Jesus is giving orders to cross the lake. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And then he's got a couple people who say, "Hey, we'll follow you." And he said, "You sure you're going to follow me? It's more expensive than you think it is to follow me. You really want that?" And now he's going to go to the other side of the lake. And so he gets into a boat. And he leaves. And a storm comes. And this is a great storm. Actually, the literal word is earthquake. It wasn't an earthquake. It was a storm. It's just the word could be used in that sense. You know, words in English or in your language have more than one meaning. Well, this word has more than one meaning, but just get the feel for what kind of storm we got here. This is a pretty significant storm. And actually, the Sea of Galilee, where he is pretty well known for these storms. And they come suddenly. And it has to do with the location of the Sea of Galilee. It's actually below sea level. And it's got hills around it. And the winds, when they come down there, they can move fast, really fast. And they can bring weather with them very quickly, so that it could be sunny 1 minute, and 10 minutes later, you can be in the middle of a storm that you've never seen before on the lake. That's probably what happened. Those still happen today. People today still talk about those kinds of storms on the Sea of Galilee. And so this is actually very real when it talks about this storm that comes up. And Jesus He gets in a boat. It's calm as they set out, as they leave. But they're in the middle of a lake now, and all of a sudden, here comes the storm. And it's a severe storm, so that it says to you that the boat was being swamped by the waves. That's verse 24. The boat is being swamped by the waves. Swamped in English means something like completely covered. And so Mark, who tells the same story, here's how Mark puts it. I'll just kind of read it to you. Mark says, the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. And so just in your mind, I want you to picture a boat in the middle of this lake, and it's probably going up and down because the storm is very serious, up and down, and the waves are coming. The waves are large enough to go over the top of the boat, and they're crashing inside the boat. And they're gathering water in this boat. And so that's the picture I want you to give of this storm. This is a pretty bad storm. Okay. Now, there are a bunch of men in the boat. So I want you to put yourself in the boat right now. You're one of those people in the boat. What are you feeling? What's going on in your mind right now?
We talked about we are dying.
We're dying.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we're dying. I'm afraid. Okay. Yeah. We going to make it? I don't know, man. Look at this storm. Look at this boat. It's already filling with water, and we got a long ways to go to cross this lake yet. Okay. That's how you feel. Here's how Jesus feels. Verse 24. He's sleeping. Okay. Is there a disconnect in your mind with that scene? Here's the boat. It's going up. It's down. The waves are crashing. Everybody's panicking. We're going to die. And Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep. Now, he probably fell asleep while it was calm. And it's just the storm has not wakened him. And part of his sleep is due to exhaustion, because he's been busy in ministry. And this is his chance to catch some sleep while they cross the lake. But part of his sleep is peace. He's at peace in the middle of this great storm that's going on.
And fate.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Jesus knows he's going to be okay. He knows nothing can really harm him. It's not his time. Right? And he'll be fine. And so here are the disciples, however. They're in great trouble. And here's Jesus sleeping. So if you're the disciples, and you're in the boat, and you look at Jesus sleeping, what do you think about Jesus? What are you thinking right now? Not about the storm, about Jesus. What are you thinking about Jesus?
Wake up.
Wake up. Okay. Anything else?
He's not normal.
What's with this guy? Does he care?
I'm saying, Jesus, are you serious?
Okay. Yeah, does he even care? I mean, look at this around us, and he's acting as if nothing is going on. You ever wonder if Jesus does care about your situation? You know, those difficult situations that I asked you to think about? Financial ones, job ones, family ones, whatever they are. And sometimes, you ever feel the way the disciples are feeling right now about Jesus? Like, where are you? What are you doing? Why? Don't you see what's going on? Are you going to do something or not? You ever think that? Those kind of things? You know, we're about to die. And he's sleeping. Come on, wake up. Do something. Sometimes we talk to God that way, right? Do something, God. Don't you see what's going on in my life right now? Okay, so does he care? You know he does. See, the difference is that Jesus doesn't really think they're in danger. They believe they're in danger, but he doesn't. Jesus sees the storm from a very different perspective. And we know that because of what happens. So look at verses 25 as you just keep reading in the story. And so the disciples, they went and they woke him. And they said, literally, it's, Lord, save. That's literally what it is. It just sort of, I like that. It just gets across the urgency of their, in English they translate it, save us, Lord, we are perishing. Literally, it's, Lord, save. Okay, that's what they do. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Isn't that the weirdest thing? I mean, that's probably not what they were expecting to hear from Jesus. I mean, they went to him for some reason. They've seen him do miracles, and they've seen this guy's got some power. I don't know what they were expecting when they woke him up, but they woke him up for a reason, thinking that maybe Jesus can do something about this. You know, if nothing else, he can get a pail and start tossing water out the boat along with everybody else. But he says, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? What he's saying to them is, you should not be afraid. Right? Okay, now you're in the boat, you see the storm, and Jesus is saying, why are you afraid? Isn't the answer kind of obvious? Well, Jesus, look around. Don't you see why I'm afraid? There's this storm, Jesus. You see it, don't you? But then Jesus says, you should not be afraid. Instead, you should have faith. That's what he's really saying, isn't it? Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? In other words, think of what he's doing here. There's fear and there's faith. And both of those things are going on here in what Jesus is saying. If we have fear, then we have little faith. But if there is faith, faith removes fear. Because if you have faith that you're going to be okay, if you really believe you're going to be okay, then, well, hey, you're going to be okay. You really believe that. And if you really believe you're going to be okay, then even in the midst of this boat, you're going to be okay. That's where Jesus is. He knows he's going to be fine in the midst of this boat. So, in your situations, the Iranian currency is not doing real well right now. Is God going to take care of you? I mean, do you have faith that Christ will care for you? Or is he gonna provide for college? Or take care of you guys when you go to college? Or maybe you're going to lose your job. Well, is Christ going to care for you if you lose your job? Maybe you got health issues. Is Christ going to care for you in the midst of those health issues? If you have faith that Christ will take care of you, there is no need to be afraid. There really isn't. Trust brings peace. It just does. And it does so even in the middle of a storm. And so Jesus here, really, he's rebuking them, the disciples, for their lack of faith. And then, after rebuking the disciples, he turns around and he rebukes the winds and the sea. And the storm leaves. And there's this great calm. It's verse 26. And so just in your mind now, picture the picture. You're in the boat. It's going up and down. And here are the winds and the water and the waves and everything. And Jesus turns and speaks to the wind. Doesn't tell us what he says. You know, be quiet. And all of a sudden, the lake calms down. And the clouds move away. And the wind gets quiet. This is what happened. This is authority, guys. That's what that is. That is authority. See, in the beginning, Jesus spoke, and the winds and the sea were formed. He created them. They belong to him. Think of it this way. It's as if the winds and the sea are Jesus' own children. And it's as if he's in the house and his children are upstairs playing real, romping around and getting wild upstairs and making a lot of noise upstairs. And their dad shouts upstairs, "Hey, be quiet." And they hear him. They hear the voice that has authority. And all of a sudden they're quiet. They know what that voice means. The winds and the sea recognize Jesus' voice. And they obey it. Okay, now, put yourself in the boat again. You're one of these people in the boat, and you just saw this. You experienced the storm. You thought you were going to die. You thought, Jesus, he doesn't care. What's he doing? He's just sleeping. You wake him up. He rebukes you. And then he speaks to the winds and the sea. And now you're looking all around you and the sea is calm. What are you thinking? Are you thinking anything? Oh, you know you're thinking something. You can't see something like that and not think anything.
I think I'd be afraid.
Okay. Be afraid. Why?
Because this man spoke and the winds stopped.
Okay.
He said authority over the elements.
Okay. Yeah. How about someone else? What are you thinking right now? If you're in the boat and you just witness this.
He's God.
Okay. Here's what they're thinking, verse 27. It says, the men marveled. You would be marveling too if you saw that. And they said, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Really, they're saying, who is this guy? Right? That's what they're saying. The winds and the sea obey this guy. Who is he? Okay, so who is he? the guy who just spoke and the winds obeyed him. Well, from this story, on the one hand, he's tired and he goes to sleep, right? And so we see, on the one hand, almost a type of weakness. He's a man. He goes to sleep. On the other hand, he rebukes the winds in the sea and they obey him. And he has authority over nature. And you see both of those things in this story, side by side. I remember Sharon Hampton. Actually, I've mentioned this story once before, but Sharon Hampton talked about, it was a Muslim woman, and she was seeing the Jesus film, and this scene came on the film. And the Muslim woman immediately asked, why didn't he call on Allah to calm the storm? That's what she asked. He didn't need to. See, Jesus has this authority in himself. He doesn't have to call on the Father. He has this authority. Now, the woman asked the question because she doesn't really understand who Jesus is. Almost like the disciples here, the men in the boat, who are also asking a similar type of question. Who is this guy? Because Jesus is doing what only Allah can do, what only God can do. And the mind of this woman, this Muslim woman, that's what's going on. Jesus is doing what only Allah can do. Yes. You're right. Yes, he is. You're halfway there. You see, God was in the boat with those men all along. And they never knew it. In Christ, God is in your heart all along. And you can trust him when whatever happens, when your mom gets sick or you lose the job or you don't know where the finances are going to come from. You can trust him. In Christ, God is with you at work. And you'll be okay when your boss wrongly accuses you of something. You'll be fine. Christ is with you. Do you see that? That he's with you? See, Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel, right? When he was born, that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Whom shall we fear? That's the scripture, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul writes in Romans 8. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? None of this. Well, in all these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Paul wrote. Romans 8. If you have faith in Christ, you know this. You know this. And you know that nothing will separate you from that love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus. Not a financial crisis. Not a job problem. Not a broken family. Not some change in your life situation. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from Him. And if you know that, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Don't you know who He is? And He is yours. And that can never change. Let's sing your song.
Well, as you're talking, I'm marveling because of the song that I chose. It is called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Oh, good.